Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local preacher here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time and the opportunity to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you'll do this each Sunday morning as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program that airs right after this program, a public access channel number 6, entitled Searching the Scripture. Please give it a view. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. Please give a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the meeting times of our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any of these services. You will always be warmly received. We are near the ending of our overview of the entire Bible, and we are now in the book of Revelation. Last week, we looked at Revelation chapter number 5, that we showed that the Lamb was worthy to take the scroll. And as we ended chapter 5, the four living creatures were and the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him who should live forever and ever. As we begin chapter number 6, we have the opening of the seals. The victorious Christ now is the one who is worthy to open the seals. And the first six seals are covered in chapter number 6. The scroll, the book, is the destiny of the church. The first seal is a white horse. Only the Lamb has been found worthy to open the seal book because He has been victorious because of His overcoming Satan and fulfilling His Father's will on earth. The white horse is the word of Christ or of God. The rider is equipped with a bow. No one will escape. Coins depicting Parthenian victors astride a horse with crown and bow would have application for the Romans, who lost 20,000 dead and 10,000 captured at the Battle of Corinth in 53 BC. The Parthenians were considered a very fruitful opponent. Each of these first four seals contains an introduction by one of the four living creatures. The unit of the four horsemen would seem to contain the ideal of God's judgment going out into the world. It would be natural for these angelic creatures or messengers to be the ones who draw attention to each of the first four open seals with the word come and also to go, which has reference to judgment. Now each of these on the white horse is wearing a crown. That word crown is from Stenophanes, the Greek word, and it means a victorious crown. And it says that they went out conquering, which means a descriptive of with completeness and finality. And a white, of course, means holy and pure. A conquering through the word of God and the gospel is a pure and holy word, and it is completely righteous and correct. The second seal is a red horse, and the second living creature introduces the goal. The red horse follows the white horse of God's word. The red is a color of fire or bloodshed. To him who granted to take peace from the earth following the gospel persecution, please read 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. The men should slay one another. Literally, it means to slaughter. The great sword is a sword of division and a sword of persecution. And Jesus makes reference to this in Matthew chapter 5, in the Beatitudes, of being persecuted for righteousness' sake, which is indeed happening to the early church in Rome. They are being persecuted for their faith and their commitment to Christ. The third seal is a black horse. This is the third living creature. The black horse has a pair of scales in the hand of the rider, and this is very much familiar to the imagery that we saw in Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 10 and through verse 16. And this is the background or a backdrop of destruction. It's a way, and it's going to weigh out certain things. Denarius is a full day's wages. We can read that in Matthew chapter 20. Your ordinary price would be much less. Oil and wine are in abundance. Black is a sign of hunger. You can read that also in judgment language in Lamentations chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Economic discrimination, trade guilds, We're going to see that when we get to chapters 13 through 17, and it is followed by death. And then you have the fourth seal, the ashen horse. The ashen horse is a sickly pale horse. The rider is death, acting through the sword, war possibly. But including war would be famine, Christian persecuted would first be the first to go, pestilence, that means death and murder, wild beast, ordinary means of death in an unstable society. We can read the same imagery in Ezekiel 14:21 and Jeremiah 15, verse 2. Hades was following him, which just means death. Death slays and Hades reaps. Hades is the realm of the unseen. It is not the eternal hell. It's not Gehenna. It is simply the place of the unseen, the place of disembodied souls. Ashen is the color of death. Authority was given to them, death and Hades, by the one breaking the seal. Again, remember, the one breaking the seal is the Lamb who has power to open the seals. Why? Because he has been victorious. And so this is not a complete judgment, but this is a limited judgment. But they were given power to inflict a limited judgment. And then you have the fifth seal. The fifth seals are the souls underneath the altars in verse 9 through 11. These are the martyrs for truth. Their bodies are asleep in the grave, and their spirits are in the Hadean realm. We can read about this in 1 Corinthians 15 and also 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14 through 18. And we know that the spirit goes back to the God who gave it, and our body goes back to dust. We read that in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse number 7. The blood cries out, much like God told Cain that Abel's blood was crying forth from the ground because of his being murdered by his brother. We also see similar language in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 24. The slain because of the word of God and for the testimony that they had maintained. These had been slain simply before their faith in Christ. Not only their faith in Christ, but their commitment, their testimony, and not being ashamed, and maintaining their commitment to Christ, and maintaining their relationship to Christ, even in the face of being put to death. They were willing to die rather than to give up Christ. And so what we see here is we see that these are martyrs for Christ because they have been faithful even to the very end. What do? They cry to God. What are they crying for? In his goodness and his reliability to judge and avenge them, to punish those who have taken their life. This has to do with justice. The plea is not for revenge, but for justice. A prayer of pardon is for those who have time to repent. This cry is for a time to end, and the question is, how long? Understand, they're not asking for vengeance, they're asking for justice. Their lives were taken because they were faithful to God. Their lives were taken by ungodly men who did it because they were trying to convince them and trying to make them to worship the emperor as God. They would not do that. They remained faithful to Christ. So they want righteous indignation. They have righteous indignation and they want divine vengeance. And this can only be done by God. The answer to the cry is each is given a white robe. That means one of purity and victory. They have been victorious, and so they're given a white robe. And they're told to rest for a little longer. Why? The end is not death for those who, for these are still alive. Until when? How long are they going to have to wait? The persecution is not yet complete. We need to understand something, ladies and gentlemen. God has a timetable, and it's not going to be rushed, or it's not going to be changed because men want to change it. They're going to have to be patient. God is going to deal with ungodly Rome. God is going to deal with her, and she is going to pay for her sin. But she is going to do it in God's time, and not until God is going to complete his destruction and his punishment of Rome, but he's going to do it on his timetable and not man's. We need to remember that lesson. The sixth seal, in verses 12 through 17, is the announcement of judgment. No one is heard in verse 15 and 16. Let us read this particular part of the text, beginning in verse number 12. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in caves and in rocks and on the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Now I want you to notice that in these verses we have judgment language. This is called judgment language. There is a judgment that's going to be rendered by God for those who have been ungodly and those who have been punishing his children. They are going to have to pay a high price. This is a judgment of the wrath of God being poured out on the ungodly. This vision of John is like the judgment noted in the Old Testament. The sky splitting, we see that in Isaiah 34 and verse 4. The sun darkened, we see that language in Isaiah 13:10. And of Judah, we see that in Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, of Judah being punished. We see that of Judah and Jerusalem both in Joel 2 and verse 10. And in Micah chapter 1, verse 3 through 6, we see that Samaria and Jerusalem are also punished because of their ungodliness. Judah in Jeremiah chapter 4, and Judah and Jerusalem in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. This seal reveals what is ahead, a judgment which will come upon the ungodly, for the wrath is from the Lamb. The mighty society and civil structures which oppose the people of God are set for destruction. They are going to meet their doom. They are going to pay for their sin. Now, who is going to be able to stand? Who's going to be able to stand in order to not face the wrath of God? Well, only the Christian. What is going to happen to Christians? This might well be a question, but the saints under the altar, but chapter 7 will answer the question. But understand that in this verse, it's not talking about final judgment. It's not talking about the end of time, and it's not talking about the great battle of Armageddon, as some want you to believe, because in verse 16, they're asking for the mountains to fall on them. In final judgment, you're not going to be able to run anywhere. You're not going to be able to go anywhere. You're not going to be able to hide anywhere, because it's going to be the end of time. This is talking about a judgment that's coming, and they know that it's a righteous judgment because it's the wrath of God being poured out on the ungodly Romans for their persecution and their killing of Christians, and this is going to happen in the future. And so this is a promise by God in this chapter that there is going to be a day of reckoning. There is going to be a day of vindication. But it is going to be on God's timetable. It is going to be when God determines that it's going to happen. This is talking in chapter 6 about the destruction and the punishment of Rome. That's as far as it goes. Men who try to get other nations and other times and the future times and even the times of the present have misunderstood the text. This is a judgment against those who had put those who were under the altar to death. Their judgment is coming, and it is sure. Thank you for listening. Please tune in again next Lord's Day. Have a blessed day. Come and worship with us today.